We've got our special guest here at the top of the hour, Dr. Harold Chinitsky. He's a sports psychologist, and before I start trying to explain you, I'll go ahead and let everybody know you were the recipient of the 2015 Florida Psychological Association Outstanding Contributions to Psychology in the Public Interest recipient. I mean, and the list goes on. But the one thing I'm noticing, buddy, were you at Clearwater in St. Petersburg? Wow.
Not bad.
Not bad to be you, dude.
It is a rough life down here. I'm originally from Chicago, and I got sick of winters.
I don't blame you.
So it looks like, Doc, this is Zach, by the way. Looks like you have worked with Olympians and professional athletes from every organization there is. So you've had a pretty good life, I guess, right there.
I have been very fortunate. I was once the athlete. We had a sports psychologist working with us, and I remember thinking, that's a pretty cool gig. And then over the years, having the opportunity of working with national champion teams up in Washington, D.C., with the Mathis Stags, the Dunbar Poets up in Baltimore, and then starting working with pro teams and Olympians, this has been a very blessed life. I am very grateful.
When you said you were an athlete, before we get into your current vocation here, tell us about your athletic career.
Oh, gosh. I was very fortunate. I grew up in a very athletic family. My father was a three-sport specialist back in high school, and my great-uncle was the head of Parks and Rec for the city of Chicago, so I got to go to Cubs games and Bears games, nice. And it was just magical. I was a three-sport also back in high school, had the opportunity on a couple of the teams, and then college as a walk-on, and the coach directed me to focus on my academics since I couldn't beat anybody on the team. I got my doctorate, but afterwards I was a teaching pro back in Chicago when I got my doctorate, and I was the captain of the Hopkins competitive tennis team when I was at Johns Hopkins doing my training.
Wow. You had it going on.
Didn't know Johns Hopkins had it.
I was fixed to say, if I couldn't go no better school than Johns Hopkins, I believe I just quit.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. I'm from Chicago, so I know people.
There you go. Remember that, Tom.
I know a guy. I know a guy.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Doc, what I'm looking there, Todd printed, I give Todd credit, he printed out the page list of accomplishments. And one of the things here at the bottom, well, first we're going to talk about your book here in a little bit, but, you know, Asperger's interventions, clinical motivation. But at the bottom here, it says the National Forum on Native American Dropout Prevention Strategies. I mean, is there any topic of psychology that you don't cover?
Well, before I came down to Florida, I was the Director of Prevention Services in the Department of Pediatrics at Johns Hopkins at the School of Medicine. Wow. And my whole thing is to be able to deal with an issue rather than wait for it to become a problem. So my whole career has been spent in helping kids stay out of trouble. And that's how I ended up getting the opportunity of working with the Native American Indian Tribal Council. And that was a magnificent group. They had hundreds of national tribes represented from around the country. And our goal was to help them to be as successful as possible. Because unfortunately, the dropout rate is stunning. Alcohol abuse is stunning. Limited vocational opportunities for them. Most kids who unfortunately go through the tribal education, when they come out at high school and go to the public schools, they're immediately put into special ed programs. That's how poor the education is on the reservation.
Wow.
Yeah, I've seen documentaries and stuff, Dr. Isatai, by the way, of that very situation. It is sad, the poverty and the lack of access to programs or anything, and lack of jobs and alcoholism is just a hard life. So hats off to you, commend you to be working with that group.
Yeah, I had set up a program called Project Champion, and it's a youth prevention program. So it works on developing self-esteem, assertiveness, decision-making, conflict resolution, goal setting, character development, assertiveness, all of those factors that have been proven to decrease at-risk behavior and increase, be it graduation rate, prevent teen pregnancy, substance use. And so it's a pleasure to be able to set these programs up throughout the country.
Doc, how you've dealt with high school athletics, college and pro, who are the most kids that you can get through, I guess you could say, as far as athletes, high school, college, or pro, which ones listen better, what you have to say?
I would actually say if you were to identify the elite athletes at most of these levels, I love your question. There's a group of individuals who have been raised by society at a very young age to feel special and rules don't apply to them. Those individuals are, it's difficult to work with because they think they're all that in a bag of chips. And the sad thing is they can really be a negative to the team if they're playing in a team sport. They don't think they necessarily need the intervention. But the curious aspect, it's the individual who works hard, diligent, persistent, that individual thrives. And so at a young age, and the earlier we can help these athletes develop these mental conditioning skills, the greater we could see their potential as they move to a collegiate level and then on to a professional or Olympic level. So I'm thrilled to work with pros because many of them have never been really given the opportunity or may not have been open to the opportunity. And so they get referred to me one of two ways. The first way is terrible. The second way is really great. The first way is if they're referred to me because the commissioner of the league, a coach of a team or an owner says, okay, you just broke the law. You're on TV for bad stuff. You know, you got some serious problems. Go talk to Shinitsky. Well, you're not too motivated to talk to me. You didn't want to talk beforehand. Now you're forced to talk.
Yeah,
and the other way, the second way that gets the best referral is when you turn to one of your teammates and you say to your teammate, hey, you know, I don't know what's going on, but before you get into trouble, we really need to work on something. Go talk to this guy, Shinitsky. I worked with him before. He's great. Nobody needs to know that you're seeing him. Now I get a guy who's highly motivated, very interested in resolving things, and I've already been vetted by their buddy.
Yeah.
Well, we've had a couple of guys on here. We had Shane McGowan on a couple of times. I don't know if you know Shane or not. He calls himself a mental game coach. And then we've had a local guy on here a couple of times, Roger Kitchen, and he's a mental skills coach. And so it sounds like what you do and what they do are very similar, but there does seem to be, you know, a difference there.
It seems to be a distinction between the two.
Yeah.
Good point. My background was clinical, and I was fortunate enough to get tracked through into a sports world. One of the things that I always like to be able to talk about is that you are working with a tactical coach. You're probably going to be working with a nutritional coach. You're going to work with an exercise physiologist. But are you also working on being mentally tough? And that's where I come in. So how to help an individual stay laser focused, develop the kill instinct, let go of the past, not focus on the future. And that's where I come in.
Yeah, that's a lot. Well, now they do, but years ago, people didn't think about that. And athletics is such a mental thing to do, right?
Yeah.
And doctor, and so by, you know, people being able to work with you, that just has to bring their entire game up. And also, you have an advantage, you being a former very good athlete yourself, you know what it was like to have to compete at a high level. So that just benefits the client as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's just because someone has the intellectual capability to get an advanced degree doesn't mean that they've actually understood the sport. And
exactly.
So a lot of my athletes are grateful that I've had the background and I can also speak the language.
Yeah.
So if we get the shanks in golf, we can come talk to you, right?
if we get the shanks.
Let's talk about your book a little bit. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say there is one chapter specifically devoted to the concept of choking and the yips, called the unmentionable.
There you go.
Awesome. Well, speaking of that one chapter, the book is named Your Mind, an Owner's Manual for a Better Life.
Actually, that's my first book.
That's your first book. Okay. Book. Wow. Well, tell us about the latest book then.
The latest book is called A Champion's Mindset, 15 Mental Conditioning Steps to Becoming a Champion Athlete.
Perfect. So that you just don't have to be an athlete to read that book then, Doc, because that would apply to real life too, I'm sure.
Absolutely. The idea that first book and my second book, the first one was, what are the most common issues I see that present in counseling, and here are the recommendations to make. The second book was Take Control of Your Anxiety, a drug-free approach to living a happy, healthy life, because anxiety is the common cold in mental health. And this third book is my passion. This is my specialty, and that is A Champion's Mindset. And so my role as the sports psychologist is to help not just athletes, but you'll find by going through the concepts in the book, if you acquire or assimilate these steps, these skills, it'll not only help you on the competitive field, it'll help you. These will help you in life.
What is the most common issue that you have to address with athletes, individuals who come to you for help?
The internal self-talk. It is stunning. These are usually high achievers, and they have this tendency of being perfectionistic, which is a double-edged sword. They can be both exceptional at applying themselves, working towards becoming the best athlete they can be. And that's great as far as a motivator. The problem is they can also be hypercritical of themselves and be almost self-abusive. And so I always like to point out to them, we're not striving for perfection. You really should consider changing that concept to strive for excellence. Perfection is an outcome. Excellence is the capacity to do your best.
That's great.
That's interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. That's very, very interesting right there.
Just think about it. If you are striving for perfection and you are the top in your sport, that's magnificent. But based on that same logic, if you're the sixth best player of whatever that sport is in the world, well, you might as well just quit.
That would be that mindset, right?
Yeah. Right.
That's a great point.
That's a sad thing. You probably know people who are this way too, and they're never, ever comfortable. They're always, what's next? And they can't kind of appreciate life.
Yeah.
And by the way, just because you do your best doesn't guarantee an outcome. And so I point out to all my athletes, I mean, let's just say you golf and shoot a course record 62. It doesn't guarantee you win the tournament. You might have had a couple of other rounds that were off.
Yeah.
Swim your fastest that you could in a pool and go against Michael Phelps, and I bet you're going to lose.
<That's>
The goal is perfection. Yep, it's doing your best.
That's right.
Well, Doc, we want to thank you for coming on, and don't be a stranger. Here's your website for everybody that's listening out there, www.drshenitsky.com, and I'm going to spell that for everybody. not like I need to, but that's www.drshenitsky.com. drshenitsky.com, and they can find it on our YouTube channel here in a little while, and on our archives as well. Doc, it's been a hoot, and we want to wish you the best around February down in Clearwater and St. Pete. I'll be down in your area around Brandon here in another week or two. So
stop on by. Back door is open.
You got it, man.
There you go. Free session right there.
Free session. Hey, you don't want to get in
you
this
don't want, No, you do
you
not
don't
want
get
to.
In his mind.
No, absolutely.
No. Scary place.
You guys are great.
Thank you, Doc.
Thank you, Doc.